I'd like to introduce our first speaker for today, Steve Giddings from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, talking about lionfish. Steve?
Thank you all for, especially Jamie, for inviting me to do this great opportunity to talk to you about lionfish. I think most of you have probably heard about the lionfish problem by now. It's been about 40 years in the making in the Atlantic and Caribbean region. About that long ago, some lionfish were introduced, but it really took them quite a few years before the population explosion really took off. That didn't happen until around 2000 or so. Since that time, though, lionfish have spread broadly from beyond North Carolina all the way to South America and are not quite finished yet, but the abundances are super high, and we're all very worried about the effects of lionfish on native ecosystems in that entire region. They're originally from the Indo-West Pacific, but were introduced into the Atlantic basin about 1985 or so. I'll be talking about several different ways people are dealing with the lionfish problem, and it's quite an interesting one, especially after in the shadow of Jamie's discussion about eradication and the possibilities for it, as opposed to some other options related to control or even creating a fishery for lionfish that could take some pressures off other species that we know are in trouble in the native ecosystems of the Atlantic and Caribbean. So I'll be talking about a number of the advances that have been made with regard to controlling lionfish and talking about some of the research I've been doing individually on trap development. The basis of the problem for lionfish are on this sheet, and I'll just circle a couple numbers here. One has to do with they're highly productive, and they reproduce often. Every 3 days, they'll put out, each individual put out tens of thousands of eggs. So they're quite prolific animals. They also eat a lot. Every animal eats large amount of biomass out of the native ecosystem there. They pounce on any animal they can fit into their mouth, basically, and including juveniles of commercially important species, not just other food fish of smaller nature. And they do have impacts on ecosystems. Some of the more dramatic numbers that I've seen in the past are lionfish represent something like over 50% of the biomass in some populations that they've invaded, and they've reduced native populations by something like 65%. So that's an extreme number, and most places aren't that bad, but you can see how bad they can get. They also have no natural predators in this invaded ecosystem, as far as we know. There are fish that will eat lionfish, but not on a regular basis. So that's the basis of the problem. A lot of reproduction, a lot of eating, and nobody eating them. Oh, and that central circle there, they're not done invading the area yet. They've reached South America, but it's likely that they're gonna spread well into South America before this is over. So the real question is, and some of you can't read this, but down in the lower right, I put, can we do this? I hope the answer is yes, but we will see. On this, the silver lining here is that, and some of you may know this, there's increasing demand for lionfish. It's very good food, very good meat, takes up all the flavors you'll give it, so it's quite tasty. And you can cook it a number of different ways. There's a cookbook out for lionfish now. There are some small businesses beginning to develop around lionfish. That lionfish dip in the upper right is made by a company down in Pensacola called Edible Invaders. It's a really delicious smoky flavored dip made from lionfish. And there are also groups of people that are supported by World Bank and others, Blue Ventures down in Belize, that are developing small businesses around jewelry development based on lionfish fins and cheekbones and other things. Quite nice jewelry, very nice. I buy it, it's my Christmas present this year for my daughters and wife. So, oh, darn, I wasn't supposed to say that. But anyway, so those kind of business opportunities are out there for lionfish. So you can imagine, eradication is an interest among the scientific community because of the problems, but fishery development and market development is another possibility that at least in the interim could take hold. So there is demand, and we do hope we can do something. The problem with lionfish is that along this invasion curve, they are way up there. They've advanced so quickly and so fast that it, at least on a normal invasive species curve, we have to put it up near the top. That black dot near the top represents probably somewhere near the situation with lionfish, to where it's probably at the point where most people would say we can really only manage it locally and keep populations down below effects levels on a local basis. And most people say we can't really hope to eliminate it, eradicate the problem. I hope that's not true, but we shall see. And one of the things that constantly does come up is the idea of genetic engineering as a solution to lionfish. Not my field, and the people I talk to point to some of the reasons why it's been so difficult to even think about genetic engineering as a solution, and that has to do with the widespread nature of lionfish, the super high abundance of the fish, the fact that they spawn in pairs, they live a long time, and you can't raise them in captivity, at least not yet, not in any significant numbers. And that's something that's generally required if you're going to introduce lethal genes into a population. You've got to put a lot of those animals back out into the field to get them to have an effect. And so far, we haven't been raising lionfish in captivity at the levels that would be needed to do that. There are people working on control. And when I talk about control, I say that's keeping abundances in certain places down below the levels at which they're going to affect the native populations to a significant degree, causing ecosystem shifts and so forth. Stephanie Green works on this and has worked on this and has found that in certain areas that she's been controlling lionfish populations, keeping them down below maybe 75, or down around 25% of their potential, that keeps the effects from becoming real in the native population. So if we can control priority areas, populations in priority areas, we might be able to keep abundances down below those levels. And it's really easy to kill lionfish. You don't have to sneak up. Swim right up to them and spear the fish. Quite easy to kill. And then they have these devices now where you can stuff a bunch of lionfish into a zookeeper or equivalent device and protect yourself from the venomous spines and get the fish into the keeper and bring up dozens of fish at a time. And there are small operators making a living off this, selling fish to the marketplace by collecting them using spear guns in shallow water down to about 120 feet. In deeper water, there are some people collecting lionfish as bycatch in a lobster fishery. There have not been traps developed solely for lionfish capture. They're just a bycatch. Now, lobstermen would definitely rather have lobsters. They're worth more. But the lionfish are expensive enough that it makes it worth their while to sell the fish if they do catch them. And there are significant numbers, thousands and thousands of pounds coming in every month from lobster fishermen. So it's not insignificant. Now, it's probably not at those levels that would keep lionfish impacts from happening in deep water. Lionfish go down to about 1,000 feet. So they're in much deeper water than we can collect them in spearfishing. But using traps at least can remove some of those fish, but it would take a lot more trapping to do significant damage to the lionfish population. And stores are starting to carry lionfish. This is a Wegmans shot up in Columbia. I get my fish from there now. They call me when they get lionfish in, and I go up and buy them. And if you ever get a chance to cook them up, they're very good fish. And other large retailers are starting to carry it, but very irregular, and that's the problem. There are groups that are training people in various ways to take advantage of lionfish, either how to handle lionfish, how to put derbies together to go control the populations, training operators on how they might commercialize lionfish in their own way. So there are some groups doing that, Reef and Reef Savers as well, and there's some others as well doing the same. We did try for some time to feed lionfish to groupers and other large fish that might become predators if they were taught that lionfish was a good fish to eat. That works to some extent. But there are unintended consequences that have crept in, and including sharks and other prey items following divers, knowing that they're going to be killing some fish and threatening the divers with some aggressive behaviors. So also, we don't really know that lionfish are good eating for most of the fish that we're feeding them to. The spines can penetrate the fish easily. They're very sharp. And a lot of groupers have a hard time swallowing lionfish, so they can be put in distress in feeding them. There are folks that are modifying existing traps to try to be selective for lionfish by creating new funnels that lionfish fit through, but other species tend not to to go into. They're having some successes out in Bermuda with this. There's a group that's working on electronic detection in traps to where, this is Bob Hickerson and Maria Hickerson's work, where they're trying to put together a system that recognizes the lionfish when it approaches a trap and then opens a door only then and won't open it for other species. So they're working on that. There's a small grant that NOAA put together last year that's now being, that was awarded to R3 Digital Sciences, where they're modifying current lobster traps with a funnel and a detection system similar to what Bob and Maria are working on, somewhat different. But it's a kit that you could add to lobster traps anywhere or a bunch of other traps that are being used to catch fish to convert those traps to lionfish-only traps, in which case you might be able to use those traps out of season and create a year-round fishery for lionfish where now those traps can't be in the water except during lobster season. So that kit would be added to those traps. And then we start to get into some of the more innovative and not crazy, because none of these have proven to work or not work yet, but there's some really interesting ideas out there. ROVs, remotely operated vehicles that swim around and at the direction of the surface operator and shoot lionfish in small areas. Suction devices that could be added to ROVs or submersibles, and a fleet of submersibles swimming around sucking up lionfish and macerating them and spitting out the parts behind the sub. It's not pretty, but it can be done. I can promise you that. And there are people proposing such things. This is a diver-held suction device. And I don't know if this worked or not, but it's a prototype that a guy was testing. He said if it doesn't work, he can go into the Ghostbuster business. This is a device not used for lionfish, but used for a crown-of-thorn starfish in the Western Pacific. It creeps up on these animals, recognizes them, and injects a poison or some kind of lethal substance that'll kill the animal. It hadn't been used for lionfish, although it could be modified in a way that it could detect lionfish and shoot them and inject them with something that would kill them. That would be interesting, but it hadn't been tested yet for lionfish. There are people with ideas that you could go electrocute lionfish if you could put some paddles around each individual fish. Now, that kills one fish at a time, and you can imagine that doesn't get you very far. But it's only a prototype, and if it could be ramped up in some way, attached to an autonomous swimming device, perhaps it could kill a lot of lionfish without being operated from the surface. And then these have not been tested yet, as you can imagine, but they're single-kill devices that would be ramped-up versions of what I just showed you, that other prototype, either equipped with spears or electrocution devices or some other lethal device on the end of the ROV. And I have a friend who's working on ROV development with pneumatically operated spear guns. And this little device I circled in red here is possibly a laser-operated device that could be used to injure lionfish. And one thing that happens when you hit lionfish is they if they're injured, other fish will come in and eat them sometimes. And so that could work. And if all else fails, it's a bit of a wild west out there with lionfish. And many of you have probably seen this video on the web. This guy modified a Glock pistol and just went down and shot lionfish. And the fact is, it worked just fine. But that's a lot of money per bullet to be spending on eradication or control. So I've been working on trap development, much lower tech, mechanically operated trap device that I feel is selective for lionfish. And it's designed for deep water control where divers can't go get lionfish. It's a FAD-based system. FAD stands for fish attraction device. And lionfish are attracted to structure. You could throw any one of these chairs on the bottom and there'll be some lionfish around it in no time. They just like structure, to their demise in a way, because I use that trait to attract them to a containment system, although the fish can come and go as they please until I pull that trap up. It's a non-containment trap until you pull it up. And so it's FAD-based curtain trap, basically. And I'll show you a design here in a minute. But it doesn't catch anything really but lionfish, because it because the other fish come and go, and they don't tend to hang around as much as lionfish do around a single structure. Lionfish come and stay for a good long time. And it prevents the problem of ghost fishing, which is when traps are lost and left on the bottom. Other fish come in and get trapped. Other fish come into those traps, eat them. Other fish come and eat them. There's serial mortality that happens in ghost fishing, but these traps don't do that because they're wide open. So this is a prototype that I tested down in the Caymans and then off Pensacola. The fad is in the middle. It's just some structure made from pickle buckets and garden edging with a little umbrella over it that fish like. And lionfish come to it, hang out. That's all they do. They come there and they hang out. We did some testing off Pensacola, about 18 miles out. There are a lot of lionfish in northwest Florida if you're interested in lionfish. So that's what the trap looks like. You just pull it up and it closes around the fad when you pull it up. This is just a little pool test we did with a bucket in the middle, but you can see how simple it is to operate. This is using it offshore in the configuration that a fisherman might use it, although they could come up with any other variety of fads to attract the fish. And like I said, you can put anything. I'm working on a folding version now that allow you to bring the trap up, set it on the deck of a ship. The fad will collapse and you could stack multiple traps on top of each other. So I'm working with, believe it or not, a pop-up card company on the next foldable fad. And I won't go through this because I don't have time, but the dome trap was giving me basically the same kind of results that I got with the other prototype, where I was coming up 60%+ of the fish that were near the trap were actually attracted close enough to the fad to be caught during the retrieval. So I was getting good results after 18-day soak times. And what we need to come up with is what's the ideal soak time? Is 9 days, 7 days, or what the best soak time to capture the most lionfish? And fishermen want to minimize soak time if they can. This just gives you a quick idea of how much area there is out there that has potential for lionfish fishery. And shallow water, you can't quite see it, but 735,000 square kilometers is above 100 feet in the Caribbean. And about the same amount of water is between there and 1,000 feet. So there's a lot of property in the Caribbean to go fishing for lionfish in places where they're at now, but not being dealt with. These are some solution holes off West Florida. In a small area in yellow there on the far left, there are roughly 136,000 of these little solution holes. They're about 10 meters across, a couple meters deep, created by red grouper, and they attract lionfish in huge numbers because they expose hard bottom in other areas that are otherwise soft bottom. So there's a gigantic potential fishery, I think, for lionfish along the outer continental shelf of the United States and probably many other places. And this is just to show you one other version of a trap that I'm developing now that's more like a little change purse. It's only got two moving parts, and they come up vertically through the water when they close. So that's a design I'm working on now to try to be able to even simplify this process even more, make traps even easier to build. You can drop them to the bottom, they automatically open, and then they expose the fad, and then they close, and you bring them up vertically through the water. It'll make retrieval much easier than that big donut-shaped trap that I showed you before. And these are some of the next steps that we're going to try to get to really make this happen, and so that we can prove to ourselves that we can do this. We can create a fishery and start to get towards control levels that keep lionfish populations at all depths below levels that they'll have effects on natural ecosystems. Eradication is still one of those hopeful things that's out there, but this won't get us there. This will more or less create a sustainable biomass of lionfish that will do two things, create a fishery for one thing, and then hopefully take pressures off other species that are being dealt with or that are being fished throughout the country, here and elsewhere. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. We have time for one or two questions if somebody would like. All right.
The people that have been looking at parasites have not found parasites in these fish in the Atlantic, in the invaded population. And now, are you talking about parasites as a possibility for reducing populations? Yeah. Right. Nobody has done that. People did not really study lionfish that much in their native range because they were so rare and not very abundant. They had enough population controls out there to where nobody ever questioned whether we ought to know things like that from the native population so that we could eventually use it in an invaded one. So,
should they?
Oh, they should. Yeah, they definitely should. Right now, what they have found so far in the lionfish is that they seem to be a bit of a superfish in some sense because they've gone through the aquarium trade, the travel, and everything that goes along with that. When they were finally released out into the net to the Caribbean ecosystem, these are fish that had run the gauntlet. They were very hardy fish, and their genetics just makes them quite hardy in general because of that. And we feel like they probably didn't have parasites in the fish population in the aquarium trade because, you know, these were the hardy fish that made it through the gauntlet. So, but it's definitely something that ought to be looked at because it is a possibility. Nobody is doing it as far as I know.
Some of the experience from trying to create commercial markets for invasive species in the terrestrial realm has actually shown that there are negative consequences. And if you create a market, people want to continue to earn money. And I wonder whether you consider the fact that this may be maybe acting in a way that's against the desire to finally eliminate.
We've definitely considered it. And one of the reasons you're not hearing a lot of people talk about actual promotion of a fishery by the National Marine Fisheries Service, for example, is that very reason. It doesn't fit the models for a commercial fishery being a non-native species in the first place, and we don't want it to be sustainable. That's not really the goal for lionfish. We'd really much rather they be gone. But I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen, at least for a while, that a fishery, quote-unquote, not a managed fishery, will develop. So, but people have talked about that and pointed that very thing out, that what do we do when people start to depend on this for a living? And if we can ever get to the point where we have a choice of continuing the fishing or moving toward elimination, which way would we choose? That's going to be an interesting debate. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.